because we had all that certainty in front of us and then it was taken away. And so now it feels really hard to plan for something that might happen, might not. Like, it's almost like there's kind of these barriers that have been put up that make it harder to go, okay, cool, I'm going to target that and do it and visualize it even. Like, I've kind of got to the point with lots of things where I'll go, is this enriching my life? And if it's not, then, you know, what's the point of it being there?
Listen Stokely, where we try to be involved, to listen and learn for us all to evolve. So welcome to you and welcome the world. We hope you enjoy the stories to be told.
Welcome to Stokely, a podcast where we explore environmental conservation, our human mindset and adventure. Each week we invite you into a conversation with people from all walks of life, people who truly inspire us and set about contributing to a greater place for us all to call home. So please take some time to settle in for a conversation today with our host, Maya.
Hello everyone, I hope you're doing really well out there. Thanks a lot for joining me here for another episode on Stokely. Today I get to speak with Ali Pottinger, who is really the brain and the heart behind the community that is Squad Run. Her and her partner, Kerry, have created an incredible community, and I dare say it's more of a family within the trail and ultra running world. They help people of all abilities, all walks of life, achieve incredible goals. They've done this through teaching people the how-to on the more technical side of running and how to get through things between 20Ks all the way up to 100 miles and further. But they've also been able to introduce people into their community and family, which has an incredible effect on someone's ability to evolve in this sport and also in any kind of endurance situation. I'm really stoked to be able to share this conversation with you and just introduce Ali and Kerry, who we have a chat to in another episode, and what they do at Squad Run to a wider audience, because I believe it's a really, really incredible community out there, and it's also allowed people to really gain access to some incredible knowledge, incredible motivation, incredible support. I think the work that they do is exceptional, and I'd really love anyone who is considering getting into the world of running to use these guys as a resource, because it's really impressive and they have a lot of heart and soul put into what they do. So I hope you enjoy the chat with Ali. Not often we get to see and talk to the people that run and organize such big things, and I'm just really grateful to be able to do that and then to be able to share it. So as before we get on with the show, as we always do here, I just want to take a moment and pay our respects to the traditional custodians upon the lands where this podcast is created and listened to. And I want to pay my deepest respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Thanks a lot for joining us. It's always really, really appreciated to have people download Stokely and listen to it and provide feedback. It's the greatest gift you can receive after putting time and effort into something like a conversation and a podcast. So it's really appreciated. Ali Pottinger and the world behind Squad Run. Here we go. Hey, so Ali, how have you been?
Yeah.
How's the year 2020 gone for you and everyone?
What a year. It's been really weird. I mean, I think that's probably the same for everyone though, right? Like, so yeah, quite different. Like, recently I did there's a study happening into women who either have professional in sport in New Zealand and the effects of COVID and all that sort of stuff. And as part of that, they asked me to kind of recap, you know, like when I first heard about it and what I thought and all this sort of stuff. And it, you know, like what a whirlwind. Like I last saw you in February, right, at Tarawera?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that right?
That would be it.
You know, we were kind of like, oh, you know, maybe Chinese athletes we need to be a bit careful with, and it was all good times. And then, you know, not like a few weeks later, we're in lockdown. And yeah, it's kind of taken over the world. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. In many ways, we're able to, you know, fill a year with a bunch of amazing events that we get to go to and meet up at. And then along with that is the community and everything. And then, you know, I thought, oh, this, you know, this situation's going to be pretty difficult with a few events getting cancelled, and then every single event got cancelled, and then the whole calendar just ceased to be what it was at the start of the year. And I was like, oh my Lord, this is something else. How's it been for you, you guys with the community and squad runs, like community and keeping people pumped up for events and things? Like, what do you do?
Well, I was really concerned, to be honest, because I know when it, like, so we work with people towards big events, and I know what it means for people to be training towards something like that. It gives them so much purpose and focus and direction with their running and something to strive for, right? And so I was really concerned about people's mental health, knowing that possibly these big events are going to be taken away. Like, what does that mean? And, but it's actually been quite surprising, you know, like the thing that has really made me happy is that people can dial back into why they first started running and, to kind of just go, oh, well, you know, like I actually got into running because I love being in the outdoors and I love feeling fit and healthy, and, I can still do that. So I think it's been, yeah, it's quite weird. Like, I really have missed seeing people for real life. Like, there's nothing quite like a finish line. Like, when you see people kind of having that realization of making it, like they've put themselves through something quite challenging, and it's a culmination of months and months of training, probably years for some of the big races, and there's something special about finish lines, just the emotions and the, you know, like when you share that with someone, it builds this really strong relationship. And so I was quite sad to be missing that and to have people missing that. But then at the same time, I think it's been good just to kind of dial right back into what it all means to you.
Yeah. Did you, like, you know, the funny thing is, like, that's not the first thing that popped to my mind. Hey, it's kind of like, oh, all events are cancelled. And even like for yourself and myself, we would have had some events lined up to do on a personal level. And and not to mention the travel and just working with the events, because like there's this backstage part of events that we get to share and enjoy, which is on a different level as well. And then, but the first thing that popped to my mind wasn't like, oh, great, this will give me a chance to like really get back into the routine and not have anything to look forward to, and it will really challenge my reason why I do it. And like that wasn't the first thing that popped in my mind, but over time it's become like this like really kind of underlying lesson from all of this, like, oh, you know, this is good to reflect and feel into that discomfort of having a bad day and then the answer not being clearly there as to, well, this has been a tough day of training. I don't want to say a bad day of training, but like you're doing it because in X amount of days or months you'll be able to race and this is all part of it, et cetera, et cetera. So like, when did it dawn on you, that whole situation? Like, of like, oh, hang on, this is like a silver lining to this whole situation.
That's a hard question. I think you've just got to look for the positive. So I don't know if it all of a sudden kind of dawned on me. It was more just like, you know, I guess it kind of comes back to just like, what can you control? And at the time, and even probably like now, you guys are getting more freedoms, which is awesome. But at the time it was like, okay, like we've had all of our, well, not all of them, a lot of freedoms taken away from us. And I can't control that. And I was getting myself, so like we were supposed to be going over to the Blue Mountains and hosting training camps, and the uncertainty and the not knowing was like really getting to me. Like I was like, but you know, I'm supposed to be going here, but I can't be going there, or I might not be able to go there. And my brain was struggling with that. And so then I thought, right, okay, all I can do right now is just bring it in close. So, you know, what can I control each day? What can I, you know, I guess it kind of forced us to be a bit more mindful and live more in the now and kind of seek out the just, yeah, it's a bit YOLO, right? Like, but kind of just take each day as it comes. Oh my God, I'm using all the cliches.
Sorry, what does really YOLO was. Mean? What does YOLO mean?
You only live once.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's great. I like that.
Didn't you? Ah, yeah. So I was just kind of like, okay, we've got to bring it in really close, like make each day as best we can. Like we're here each day without a lot of other choices. So I'm just going to bring it in there and kind of focus on that little bit and have a little daily routine and go through, take it each day at a time.
Yeah. It's so like I hear you give that example and I love it because it just makes me, knowing you and Kerry as well and knowing what you guys yeah. both do with Squad Run, it yeah. makes me think how often you do apply those personal real life situations that you're having to this mm-hmm. To the way that you communicate and talk and you know, activate and engage with your wider community, and not just Squad Run, you know, like other people as well, and how you use your examples and lessons to help everyone else. Because what's, you know, to give a little bit more insight to it. So how does it sit now? Like, how many people do you have involved, and what's the spectrum?
Like, we've got a few coaches now working with us. So we've got Kyle Weiss, who's in the Gold Coast. He's a great little runner. Well, I shouldn't say little, but he holds a number of under 25 Australian records now. So yeah, 50K, 100K. He's pretty, he's like, we describe him as being like a bit like Ken or something. Like, he's Mr. Perfect. Like, he's clever, handsome, talented, you know, like
Ken
nice
the
guy,
Barbie
like,
doll. All of it.
Yeah, but like, he's obviously got a penis. But yeah, so there's Kyle, and then there's Wes, who she is a bit of a firecracker, Wes. So her name's Leslie Park, and she is in Papamoa, so not too far from us. She's a total boss runner. She loves coming up with crazy adventures, and yeah, so she's coaching for us. She's quite entertaining. She does the whole call a spade thing. And Virgin has started coaching for us as well. So Virgin Armstrong, who I don't know, most people probably know the name. And yeah, so he brings another dimension as well. I love, yeah, chats with Virgin. And I think from a, I guess, a mindfulness perspective, like a lot of his stories, I think Virgin is an amazing storyteller, and the stories that he tells really resonate and are things that you can apply and hold on to when times are challenging, maybe. Yeah.
Unreal.
And then from an athlete perspective, yeah, it kind of goes up and down all the time, obviously with events and stuff like that. So I don't even know our numbers. Like, yeah, I don't know. So people will always go, oh, how many people have you got on the start line or that sort of stuff. I just know who's doing what and focus more on remembering their stories and names than on counting up who's doing what. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's I see it. It's so funny how like my simple vision of Squad Run is, it's like Kerry is so like, and I know you've heard this before and whatnot. So it's like a lot more kind of technically minded, a lot more kind of like analytical and whatnot. But then you've got, you know, the beautiful nurture of Ali, who is this, you know, I don't even want to say it like this, but someone who cares, like she's going to care about yeah. what's going on. And I think that it's,
yeah.
And I think that, your ability to do that has been able to, yeah, I guess like foster this more of a community vibe. And I'm like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that Kerry doesn't have an input to that, because we know that he does in his own way. But what is it that to you that motivates you to want to have a community of runners that just like daily rely upon you for guidance and advice?
Yeah, that's it's pretty daunting. So Kira and I, we're really yin and yang. Like, we work really well together, and I think we bring out a lot of the best in each other as well. But it's really tricky too, you know, like working with your partner, because when it's the way it is, we're constantly compared. And so people will often say things that are accidentally offensive. Like one lady had said to me, oh, you know, something about Kerry's got an amazing scientific brain and I really like your morals. And I'm like, thanks. Like, I like my morals too, but I'm not stupid. Yeah, it's hard working with a partner. Like, it's awesome, but it's also... yeah, it's different, you know, like, yeah. And so then, yeah, I think like, I guess we have quite, well, similar, like a lot of very much similar mindset approach to coaching. I think probably I'm more coming from a holistic and a feel place, and he comes from more of a scientific kind of place. But as he's, you know, developing himself, he's becoming more and more holistic and kind of taking that on, and I am really working on you know, my scientific knowledge as well. So yeah, it's kind of cool that we can communicate and work together and move forward and develop ourselves in different ways.
Yeah. What are the biggest stands out for you in terms of like the areas that you've been able to develop and help yourself with, as long as help other people with?
So I come from a teaching background. So, where it's, you know, a professional career where you're constantly dedicated to professional development and learning and growth and upskilling. And so that's what I have really brought to the table, is that I'm constantly trying to find, like, there's not, you know, an ultra running coach course out there really, like or if there is, it's probably not quite what it could be. So yeah, each, like, that's a real focus for me and for us. And so Kira and I kind of are constantly seeking out what courses we can do, or you know, what information's out there to kind of help make us better coaches. Well, you know, to continue our journey learning as coaches as we progress, so that you're not just kind of constantly sitting on your laurels or just going, this is the way I've always done it, so this is the way I'll always do it. So yeah,
I mean, like, yeah, there's definitely some, you know, there's, to a lot of people, that's a perfectly fine way of doing it, right? Like, it's worked in the past. Mm-hmm. It's 90% of the time it's going to work into the future as well.
Yeah.
And like, do you, because, you know, like when I have conversations with people, especially, and it's getting into things of the unknown, right? Like, if you're trying to get into something, and it doesn't have to be running, it can be anything. Like, I think of say like coast to coast in NZ, and if I was to go do that, then I'd have to learn how to kayak, and that's an unknown. It's like, whoa, geez, like, aside from the actual fact of, you know, running, it's 1 foot in front of the other, and then from that you get a little bit more into detail about how you can train physically for it. Like, on the, like, the mindset side of things and how to continue to keep people like engaged and motivated and believing in themselves. Like, I kind of feel like that's a space that you probably bring a lot to. Like, how do you view that element of working with people in the space that you do?
Yeah, it's an important part of coaching, right? Is kind of figuring out how to get the best out of people. And I think that come like a lot of it has come from teaching and understanding, you know, how to, I worked with 5-year-olds. So 5-year-olds are actually pretty easy to motivate. You can just put on a voice like this and be excited and everyone will want to get involved in what you're doing, regardless of what it is. So I think, yeah, that's really helped understanding motivation and how to apply it to adults. And we are just big kids, really. So, but it is, it's kind of, I think a lot of it is actually about asking the right questions and listening. And so people often have the answers themselves. It's just having the space to consider them.
And so are there questions that, are there go-to questions for you?
It depends on what they're talking about, I guess. So, you know, it's like, do you actually want to do it? Like, what do you want to get from it? Like, are you, is it something that, what motivates you? Because people often go, oh, you know, Ali, what race shall I do next? I'm like, well, I don't know. Do you want something that, do you want a flogging? Like, do you want to go for suffering? Like some people like that. Or do you want to go for a fast time? Or do you want to go for scenery? Or do you want to, so it's kind of trying to dial into what it is that is going to motivate them to kind of take those next steps.
Mm. Is it, yeah, it's kind of interesting, hey, like that situation in those discussions, how and I love what you said, how, you know, majority of the time people do have their own answers to the question that they're asking. And I mean, like with such a big community or like a group of people, like how do you stay motivated to do that continuously? Because there's that question fatigue, right? And you know, I sometimes feel that you know, I'm not too bad at it, but like that whole like situation of communication where listening is so important, like it's so important, but it can get tiring, especially if you're talking to athletes and you've got to just continue to ask the same question and just be that sounding board. Like how do you continue to be motivated through all of that?
Well, it really comes from the people. Like I really like the people that we work with. So it's exciting to kind of, yeah, to talk to them and to find out what, because everyone's different. Like when you work with humans, no day is going to be the same. So you're always going to get something that throws your curveball or, you know, someone will come out with something that you don't expect. And so that's the bit that I find really motivating, is that everyone will, it's just finding out what's important to them and also kind of trying to think about how to move them forward, you know, because it is, it's different for it's different people. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No,
I don't know if I've answered your question there or not.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, you know, there's no right or wrong. I guess it's like your own personal, yeah, your own personal thing that you get from the experiences, you know. It's not a, yeah, there's no right or wrong to it. It's just kind of understanding what makes you tick behind the scenes, you know, because like you said, sometimes like if you're dealing with 5-year-olds, sometimes you just put on a happy face and a happy smile and the next thing you know, everyone else is jived up and it's like, cool, rock and roll, let's go dig some holes in a sandpit. But I think, you know, like with adults, it can be a slog sometimes, and you know, and you put on a happy face and you put on a smile, but like sometimes it just doesn't bring them out of that the headspace that they're in, you know. And so
and that's where this year's been really difficult, is because often you know, coaching, you are expected to be all these different things. Like you're expected to understand science, biomechanics, your loading, your you know, nutrition, your mental health, like you name it. Like there's so many things that we're supposed to know about everything. And this year especially, like I think we have really amazing relationships with people. Like I feel like we are trusted to so many you know, the deepest, darkest parts of people. And it's a pretty vulnerable space. And yeah, it's been challenging because there's lots of people that have found this year really difficult. And yeah, we are often the person that they'll share with. And it's like, shit, man, I'm not qualified for this. I'll just, you know, talk things over as best I can and listen and, you know, try to do my best by them. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you set boundaries around that?
As in, like, what people will say, or as in, because I can't, but as in, like, time, or what kind of boundaries do you mean?
I mean, like, you know, because you're right, like, people will openly share to different degrees what they're feeling, what's happening in their life. And, like, where do you draw the line on, hey, look, you know, I'm here to help you in many regards, but at the same time, like, I really, like, this is, I don't feel comfortable helping you or whatnot. Like, how do you respect your own boundaries in that sense? And when do you have to draw them?
I will always encourage people to see a professional. So, if it comes, you know, like if it's an issue where it's like, actually, I think you need to talk to your doctor about this, or a podiatrist or a physio or a psychologist, you know, those sort of things, or GP. So I said doctor, didn't I? So, I'll definitely make sure that they are going and seeking support and help from the right people as well. You know, it's an accountability. So, you know, like, how did that chat with your psychologist go? Or, you know, did you chat with your GP? Like, what are they suggesting for this? So I think I keep things pretty open. Because I think that's how the world should be. We should be more open, and we should be discussing things and talking about you know, advice from professionals, and it shouldn't be something that should be kind of closed off. I just pick my battles. But when it comes to, like, so, you know, but I'm also conscious, like, the last few years have been huge for us. Like, and we work in an online space, so you can be available 24/7, 7 days a week, and that can be pretty draining as well. So I'm trying to, like, the goal for the past couple of years has been to get a better balance, or to, you know, to question the balance that I've got. And so, I try and make sure now that I might have, like, at least one day in the weekend off, or, you know, go, okay, it's past 7 p.m. now, I'm not going to reply to messages until tomorrow when I start working, or something like that. It's a tricky one in the space that we work in.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, like, I've seen you numerous times just work like work hour on hour. And
work like a dog.
Man, when do you get your own time, you know, your own space to break out from it all? Because you've got, you know, you get after it too. Like, when you do go on submissions, it's like, no mucking about, Ali. You've got to love your sense of adventure too. There's no doubt about it.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I think the balance was out. Like, I felt like I was supporting all these people to do really cool things, and then not having as much time for myself to do it. Or and it's funny because I was feeling like, oh, I don't feel, and it's a weird word to use, but relevant. I feel like I'm not doing my bit in the space. You know, like, it was kind of funny. And so, I try and have some really cool adventures with friends. And race-wise, I don't tend to do a lot of races, but I'll try and go and do cool stuff that excites me. Just spend my fitness in a fun way. And I've also got more into mountain biking in the past year. I've really enjoyed that, just having something different in my life. You know, like we our friends are runners. We work in the running space. People want to talk about running. And so it's so nice to just have something else. And I love mountain biking for the fact that you kind of, especially like when you're learning and kind of trying lots of different. So like now I've just started riding some grade fives, which is like advanced, and so each time you're pushing the boundary when it comes to a more challenging trail, you're really in it, like I reckon, a flow state, because you're just like, you've got to be so in the moment, otherwise it could go wrong. So yeah, I'm really enjoying mountain biking as well, and having a bit of diversity to what I do.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. That isn't it, like that you love something so much, but then it gets to a point where your love for it becomes like a disservice to you. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it doesn't benefit you.
Yeah. So I had an interesting chat with a lady I coached the other day. We were talking about alcohol, and I just said, you know, like I've kind of got to the point with lots of things where I'll go, is this enriching my life? And if it's not, then, you know, what's the point of it being there? So I think you've got to keep finding ways, like especially in the realm that we're in, is to keep making sure that it is enriching your life and find the ways to ensure that that's happening.
Hmm.
I
can find that super difficult too, right? Like if you're, it's kind of like that situation where you feel like you've put so much time and so much effort into something that you can't turn back. Like, you know, I just, mm-hmm. I've gone so far on this and I've committed so much that to turn back now would, it kind of seems totally irrational. But like you said, if it's not enriching your life, mm-hmm. like what's the other purpose around it? Like how much more of a tough skin can you gain from doing something that is just not really in service to what you need?
Yeah, it's pretty daunting to be in that position too, you know, like where you are at a point where you're questioning, you know, how big a part something plays in your life. And, you know, we humans don't really like change that much. So it's a tricky one to reason with or to take action with.
Mm. What do you feel like is the most common thing that you have to try and help your athletes? Do you call them athletes? What do you call the people you work with? Customers, athletes, like?
Oh no, yeah, I guess athletes, or I just call them runners normally.
Yeah,
like, or the people that I work with. That's what I normally say.
Yeah, even that, like I've come across. That being such a point of difference for so many coaches in the space of running, like they all say something yeah. different, and there's always a real personal reason behind that. I just find that interesting.
Yeah, so for me, like coming from a teaching background, and also like we have, you know, like our indigenous culture in New Zealand is Maori, and I was really lucky when I was little. I was in a Maori bilingual class, so it's quite a special culture to me, even though I'm not Maori. And there's a beautiful word called ako, which is, it's kind of like a reciprocal teaching and learning, a word that kind of describes that, I guess, like a symbiotic relationship between people. And so I really do feel like I'll say like the people I work with or the runners I work with, or I really don't like the term like my athletes, or like I don't like that feeling of ownership, because I think that we're both kind of learning and growing together.
So what, tell me more about that, like that way of, is that like a more of a way of understanding the world or relating to the world?
Yeah, I guess so. It's an interconnectedness, right? Like, so, and also like a more of an equalness, and, you know, appreciating how we all relate, and that, no, you know, like I don't feel like, it's quite funny because, yeah, I feel like we're all kind of on the same level. So like I've met for famous people before and I'm just like, oh cool, you know, nice to meet you. And yeah, it's I'd like to think that I try and treat everyone equally if I can. Yeah.
Do you feel like that's served you in the experiences and interactions that you've had? More so, like, you know, because there's that kind of situation where you're like, oh, that person, I could probably get something from that person if I like suck ass a bit and name drop, like, you know, I feel like that's something that I've definitely seen quite a bit and experienced.
Yeah, it definitely happens in our sport. And I think so Kerry and I have said like we don't take on any sponsorship. Like we want what we do to be like just to come from a place of appreciating good products. So I think there's that. And I think too, like, you know, we work so closely with events, and so when it comes to entries, like, oh, I don't like asking for a race entry because I know how little race directors earn and how much work goes into doing what they do. So I think it's kind of, yeah, I try and avoid that sort of stuff if I can, because it just doesn't feel nice. Like I'd rather, I'm very independent and I like to try and pave my way as much as I can. And
but like, why is it that it's not worth it though? You know, like if, you know, if someone's like going to give you an entry, like where's the point of like, this is not worth my time for you? Like, where does that come into it? Or why, what's the benefit of saying no?
Oh, I think if it's offered, if somebody wants to willingly offer something and, then cool, like that's fine, but I'm not going to be like, oh, you know, like put pressure on, like, don't you know who I am? Because just not me.
what's your thought on the whole influence? Because like there is this whole situation. I was speaking to someone that we both know pretty well recently about the rise of the sport of trail running specifically and the simultaneous rise of social media, and especially that kind of world of social media and influencing and whatnot. And like it's unlike a lot of other sports where they didn't happen at almost exactly the same time. And it's brought on this huge element of like, influences in the sport. And I feel like, you know, from when I look at the work that you guys do, it's on a ground level. Like it's very at the coal face. You know, you're dealing with people, like you're giving runners hugs after 100Ks and it's like 3 a.m. in the morning and they stink and you stink because you've hugged 20 people and they've just run 100Ks and you just get it in there. And I just feel like, you know, like, and you haven't, and I don't know if this is intentionally, but you haven't gone and created this massive like online content presence where you're like putting, like trying to influence through that medium of of communication to people. And yeah, I just wonder what's the reasoning behind that, and how do you see that play out in our sport, like positive or negative or indifferent?
Well, I guess again another cliche, but you know, treating others how you want to be treated. So I don't really like it when people are like, oh, you know, can you get me some free coaching, or like, you know, like I'm okay, like we definitely do a lot for charities, you know, like if someone reaches out and they're like, oh, we've got a school raffle and they're giving away an entry to this half marathon, I'm like, yeah, cool, we'll do coaching towards that. But I think when it comes from like, if it's coming from a place of like, I have got 10,000, you know, like, or whatever followers on my Instagram, like, can I get this? And I'm like, no, like you can, you know, like I think so there's, I guess it comes back to like what influence people are trying to have and where it's coming. And for me, if it's coming from like a good place of like wanting to support people or to, you know, yeah, share good messaging, like my definition of good, I guess,
yeah.
then cool. But if it's like, it's just a way, like a vehicle to get free stuff, then it doesn't gel so well with me. Yeah, so it was interesting, like for Tarsic Traverse, when Lucy was with us, I got to do an interview with her, and I said one of my questions was, you know, like you could be considered an influencer, like what influence do you actually want to have on people? And I think I think it comes back to that, like what is your, so if you are influencing, what is the influence that you're trying to have? And you know, like, is it coming from a place of wanting to bring people together or build them up or encourage them into the sport or, you know, share the love of trails or you know, conserve our environment or that sort of thing? Or is it just a vehicle to kind of, yeah, get free stuff?
So what influence do you, like, what is the reason why you do what you do day to day?
Yeah, it's seeing people better themselves or kind of grow and learn. So I got into teaching because I like to shape young minds, and then running I realized is just shaping older minds. So yeah, that's really my motivation, is kind of seeing people get the best out of themselves.
Yeah.
And to have really like to explore and enjoy our world. So have awesome adventures. And I think also like, yeah, people conserve what they love. So I think sharing the outdoors and how beautiful it is will also, you know, have positive impacts when it comes to conservation from an environmental perspective as well.
Hmm. Yeah, I think like, you know, I've spoken to this a lot, with a lot of people recently, especially that, yeah, when there's a sense of connection, there's definitely a lot more, I guess, motivation to protect what you're connected to.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's one of the most incredible things about running and especially trail running as well, is you, whether you do it consciously or not, like you just kind of, yeah, you just kind of get that connection through being, and then all of a sudden it's just like, yeah, it's next thing you know, you're just like a little bit more linked to all those places and want to do something for them. Do you, so what are the, I was going to ask this question before, like what are the main things that come up for you through your athletes and your runners? Like what are the main things that you're always dealing with in terms of more so on like the personal side of things, in terms of personal belief and whatnot? What constantly comes up that you're just like, you know, you've got to work on this?
I mean, from a coaching perspective, it's often really trying to get that consistency into running. And then from a mindset perspective, it's really self-belief, I guess, is that people they always question if they can do something, whether it's to hit a certain time or whether it's to complete a race distance or, you know, that sort of thing. So those are kind of the two, you know, one from more of like a loading kind of a perspective, and then one from the mindset, yeah.
So how does the belief, how do you get people to believe that they can do something?
I think often, you know, like we don't actually know until it's done. So for me, it's more just like one of the ladies that we work with, Jenny, she emailed the other day going, oh, you know, like I was going to run UTA 50 and then I thought maybe I'll just go run it anyway, and then now I don't know. And I was like, well, you know, you just got to try. Like, I think you can do it. You don't know if you can do it. But like, what are you going to do otherwise? Like, just sit at home, or why don't you, or just go out and give it a crack? So I think really it's kind of like you can voice your support or encourage, or sometimes maybe go, actually, like, now's not the right time. But so I think it comes to being really honest and transparent with the people that you work with. So if I think something's, you know, not the go, then I'll say it. But likewise, like, if I think someone can do it, then I'll tell them. And then, you know, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to do it or not? Like,
yeah.
So, and like, if it doesn't happen, then what's the worst thing with that? Like, yeah. So just, you're better off just getting out and finding out than not normally.
Yeah. So what's that for you right now? What's your thing that gives you some, I don't want to say hesitation, but what is something that you want to believe that you can do, but you might have some, you know, disbelief about it?
I don't know. At the moment, like, I don't really have that thing. I'm feeling like, yeah, I'm kind of at this point where I'm like, okay, like, you know, coaching wise, I'm in a really good space. I feel really happy with how things are going. And then running wise, like, I've ticked a lot of big goals that I wanted to do. And so, yeah, I kind of don't really have something that's kind of tickling away at the back of my brain going, can you do this? I need to find it. Yeah, it's a funny place to be in. Like, there's nothing that's kind of really ignited my curiosity at the moment. So what about you? Have you got something?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I've definitely got a lot of things. I definitely do. And they probably involve, like, a lot larger adventures, to be yeah, fair. You know, like a couple of races for sure. But I think, yeah, probably like what can be done consistently over like numerous days is probably a big one. Like, how?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but at the same time, it that is also quite clouded at the moment, just with, and it's probably more of an excuse than anything, but with, you know, the restrictions on, like, I can only, up until yesterday, we were only allowed to go 5 kilometers from the place we're staying. So yeah, it's hard to know what is actually possible in the near future.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
think that's part of it, actually, to be honest. It's like, because we had all that certainty in front of us and then it was taken away. And so now it feels really hard to plan for something that might happen, might not. Like, it's almost like there's kind of these barriers that have been put up that make it harder to go, okay, cool, I'm going to target that and do it and visualize it even. It's, yeah. So I can appreciate what you're saying.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I think you say it's visualization and that element of work that you can do prior to doing something is really important. So I really wanted to ask, because I've had this chat so many times about, like, what is, like, achievement? Because you said just before, like, you've ticked off a number of things, you know, like.
Mm-hmm.
And that is awesome. Like, I think achieving certain goals is massive. And there's this question that arises that's about achievements versus success,
mm-hmm.
and how you, yeah, view that differently. Like, what does success look like for you on a personal level with not just your running, but like your day to day, like your life? And then what does success look like with regards to the business, because that is also such a large part of your life?
Oh man, that's a really tricky question. I don't even know. Success. Yeah. I guess, like, ultimately, like, am I living my life in a way that I want to be living it? Because, yeah, it's easy to put numbers or things like that on it, but actually that's not it. So I guess success is probably just finishing each day going, that was a cool day.
what would a cool day look like for you then, Al?
I think for me, like I like starting my day with a run if I can. So getting out and moving. Generally a cool day involves sunshine, being able to go for a bike in the forest too. And then having a laugh with Kerry and, doing some sweet bombs and having really good chats with people and kind of, feeling like I'm helping people and moving forward in that way as well. So, and eating good food comes into it as well.
Awesome. What is success versus, because like coaching could be, assessed with metrics pretty quickly, like how many people mm-hmm. you have and how many people are achieving this and what is your fastest runner, et cetera, et cetera. But like, what does success look like on that level? In that world for you?
It's really like, I think when you see people having performances that blow your mind, like when you're like, wow, they did that. And so, it might be kind of like a percentage of performance improvement on something. Like, so we quite like a 5K time trial benchmark, or to see people, executing a really clever race, spending their fitness as best they can, or to knock off something big that they thought they couldn't do. So that, to me, when I see people doing things like that, that is success. So it's, I think focusing on all of those things means that we have a successful business anyway, like that we're getting paid to do our job, because it's coming from a place of, I don't know, like a good, honest place, I guess.
Yeah, no, like if that's the way you feel, like that's great. I don't think there's a right or wrong, right? It's just like there is definitely a sense that you do try to, come at it from a pretty real place, like meet people at the level they're at, which is mm-hmm. human at the end of the day,
Yeah.
Not try to treat them, I guess, like they're something else because they have talent in this direction and mm-hmm. They've got abilities here but not there, kind of thing. How do you see this world expanding over the next kind of like 5 to 10 years?
It already has, like it's changed so much already in the last 5 years. I think the sport will just keep growing, and the coaching space seems to keep growing. I would hope to see more coach education out there, because I feel like that's kind of a really great area at the moment. And so that would be really cool to see in the next 5 to 10 years, some more support out there for coaches.
What do you feel like is, why is that? Why do you think we need that?
Well, I think it's a pretty big ask, endurance sports, if you get it wrong, like you can actually die. So I think it's important to have good information out there and for people to be well trained and for people to understand all the little facets of our sport. So like, not having non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, or getting their hydration right or their training right, and so that we are in the sport safely, as best we can. So I think that's quite important.
It does. There is, don't get me wrong, like there, it does feel like the kind of like the Wild West sometimes, and anyone can sign up and start coaching people. Like I want to say it's hilarious, but at the same time, it's not hilarious because, like you say, it's people's health and safety is at risk, and that's serious, like people have, unfortunately passed away at finish lines at these events and during these events, and it's like mm-hmm. and as you say, it could have been avoided. It could have easily been avoided. Yeah. So that's a real shame. And I think you're right. Like, education could play a huge part in protecting people as well as protecting, you know, people in the space of coaching. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because what works for some people is not going to work for others, no matter how much of an elite you are.
Yeah, and I think that's why, like, too, you know, I think there's space in the sport for lots of different types of coaches. So you get, yeah, there's quite a range out there already.
Yeah.
And yeah, you've got to find someone that gels with you. So, yeah, we've all got different approaches when it comes to coaching and training and how we approach it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What space do you feel most comfortable coaching in?
I like it all. Like, I'm greedy. No, I really like, you know, like, I think variety is the spice of life. So, yeah, I work with lots of different people. Like, one of the ladies I coach, she just so it's kind of funny, like, Athletics New Zealand has realized that trail running's a thing, and they had created Rim Ultra in the weekend, and they're calling it the New Zealand Trail Champs. And Kirsten, who I coach, got a gold medal for her age group. So that was really exciting, you know, like, so that I was super pumped to see her have a great race. She came fourth overall. She ran really cleverly. And then, you know, like, one of the ladies I've worked with, Tony, she ran, she'd been around kind of 19 minutes for 5K, and then she ran just out of the blue. I think she was like 18, 15. And I thought, oh man, that's amazing, you know. And then she blew me out of the water. Like, about a month ago, she messaged and like went, I just ran 17:45 for 5K. And I was like, holy, you know, I didn't even know you could do that. And that's really exciting. But then at the other end of the spectrum, like, I'm coaching someone who was kind of running 5K, and now they've just run a half marathon distance, like her first half marathon since she had her children a few years ago. And I can relate to that too. And I find that really motivating when you can see these big improvements. So, yeah, I really like coaching a range of people because I think it keeps it real. Like, so that you don't kind of assume that everyone runs 17:45 for 5K, or that, you know, like, everyone's out just running their first half marathon, like, or even when people run that first sub 30 minute 5K, like, that's, it's so cool to see these big chunks that people can improve by. So yeah, I'm kind of greedy like that. I just like coaching heaps of different people.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nah.
Like, yeah, I do love going out and just running with people and running like the furthest distance they've ever run with them. It's just,
oh yeah,
such a kick. Like, it's so, and it's not all about metrics, don't get me wrong, but it's a really fun way to allow someone to see themselves do something they haven't. And you know, it's easy to quantify, it's easy to measure. It's like, oh wow, like, and yeah, you can put a number on something that gives you this instant, like, oh well, that's like legit, cool, nice work, man. So hey Al, I we're coming up on an hour here, and I just wanted to say thanks again, because I have, you know, been able to sit back and see you guys work from so many different angles, and I think it really is a positive, yeah. You've both co-created a real positive space in this sport, and I think that I'm not sure how much further it's going to trickle into other sports, but I hope it does, because like it's definitely a positive thing. And yeah, I just wanted to make sure that I was able to have a chat to you both about it, and I appreciate the work that you both do. There's no doubt about it.
Thank you. So you're going to have a chat with Kerry still, aren't you, too? Is that right?
Well, I don't know if I should. I'm kind of in two minds.
I think you should. Nah, you should. It'll be entertaining.
You know, they say that the conversations that you find most difficult are the ones that you should be having. So maybe I should have a chat.
Yeah.
We're penciled in. We're penciled in to have a conversation in a couple of days. So, I very much look forward to getting, you know, the other portion of Squad Run's thoughts on the world of everything.
He's a special character. I love him.
Oh, mate. We most certainly, I mean, we have a place in our hearts for everyone. We're all, like you said, we're all the same at the end of the day. So, hey, but yeah, thanks heaps for having a chat, Al. It's great to have a yarn with you.
Yeah, good to chat with you too.
So there we go, everyone. I hope you enjoyed an introduction to the heart that is behind Squadrun. And if you do want to check them out a little bit more, please visit squad.run on the interwebs and you will definitely be able to find out a whole lot more in regards to how to get involved and check out a little bit more behind the community and the family that is Squadrun. So I'd like to thank Ellie again for her time. It's always amazing to catch up with Ellie. She really does light up a room whenever you are somewhere in the world and, you know, you've just got a whole lot of work in front of you at an event. She's always there to provide a smile and a good dose of much needed energy. So thanks again, Ellie, and thanks again to everyone for joining in. We will have a chat with Ellie's partner in Squadrun and partner in life, Kerry Suda, in the next episode, and I hope you enjoy that equally as much. So until then, please keep well, and we look forward to hearing from you, and thanks a lot for tuning in.